We open with hymn number 19.
Thank you. name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our God, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples, shout to God with the voice of triumph.
As it was.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who in the wilderness didst by thy Son abundantly feed 4,000 men besides women and children with 7 loaves and a few small fish, we beseech thee graciously abide among us with thy blessing, and keep us from covetousness and the cares of this life, that we may seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, and in all things needful for body and soul, experience thine ever-present help through thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Testament lesson is found in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, the 6th through the 12th verse. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, and give him no rest, till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 6th chapter of Romans, the 19th through the 23rd verse. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity upon iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit did you have then in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph, alleluia.
Our gospel lesson is found in the 8th chapter of Mark, the 1st through the 9th verse. In those days, the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for many of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, where can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, and broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the people. And they had also a few small fish, and he blessed and commanded them to set them also before the people. So they ate and were filled, and they took up of the broken food that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. Here ends the gospel. confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 312.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you and God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the Gospel, Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, How many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said to them, He set them also before them. So they ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. Here ends our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, if we had a stingy God, perhaps we would not find a lesson like this in the Gospels. Much less 2 lessons, though they were very similar, are nevertheless entirely different events. If God were a miser with his blessings, we would not see Jesus so quick to give up his next meal. If he were to judge us only according to our works, then he would surely say to us, who came into the wilderness and stayed till long after our food was gone, Why is it my concern that you were so foolish as to remain here so long and eat up all your bread, and now you have nothing and no way to get more before you faint from exhaustion on the way back? How does this become my problem? Perhaps if our God were not such a God as he is, a God who is full of compassion, then Jesus might have reacted in that way to the crowds who were with him for 3 days. But our God is not such a God as that. And Jesus has compassion for the multitudes. And his compassion is so much greater than because he, above all men, is able to do what his compassion moves him to do. We might wish to be able to feed the poor of all the world, but we cannot because we only have so many resources. That is enough just to feed the poor in our own midst, much less the poor in every impoverished nation. And yet not so with Jesus. In Jesus we have the compassion for poor sinners in the same person who has the power to create all things. The Lord who brings seed to the sower and bread to the eater stands there among the multitudes of the 4,000 people, and he does what he has always done for them before now. He feeds them. He provides for their bodily needs, even as he had given them the living bread, his holy word. These are Jesus' gifts to the people. Bread for the body and bread for the soul. And these gifts cannot fail. He who made the heavens and the earth and the sea, he who has filled the ground with plants that bring food to mankind, and also the cattle and the animals which we eat, he who brought all these things to life and continues to provide for our bodies day after day, and not just ours, but those of all the world and even the smallest creatures of this world. It is inconceivable that Jesus, who is both full of compassion and also full of such divine power, would not give these 4,000 life and breath still yet another day and provide for them the daily bread that they need so that they would not starve along the road home. And so he did for them what he does for us every day. He takes the things of this earth, lowly things, and makes them fruitful. And because of this, we are blessed. And so it is that none of us has lacked bread. Jesus has answered the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer every day of our lives. You pray, give us this day our daily bread. And he has done so. Even when you do not know where the next bread will come from, he has richly and daily provided for your every need. And just as Jesus had compassion on the multitude who continued with him for 3 days, so he has compassion upon you who have continued with him since your baptism, hearing his word. His compassion is part of his nature. He loves his creatures, and he cares for all of his creation. How much more then does he care for you? For Jesus did not come into the world as a beast of burden, or as any other creature, but as a man. And just as you might know hunger, he knew hunger. If anyone knew pain or suffering, so did he. You don't have to wonder whether the compassion of Jesus is real, for you know that Jesus himself has experienced every trouble and temptation that you have experienced, and he has overcome them for you. How poor our compassion is compared to the compassion of Jesus. Consider how it is with us. We forget the care of our Father in heaven, how even the hairs of our head are numbered by him. And we look at the checkbook or the dwindling supplies in the pantry or our own bodily weakness, and how often do we see only our need? And yet God has not left us. We have not starved. He has not failed to provide everything that we need. There the disciples were in the wilderness. They had no place to go to buy bread. They had only 7 loaves and a few fish. Yes, it was enough for Jesus and the disciples as they made their way back to civilization so that they could buy more food. But it certainly was not enough for the crowds. And yet they had Jesus. The disciples are not concerned that the people have nothing to eat because they know that Jesus will provide. They had seen this before. On another occasion, they watched Jesus multiply 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for an even greater crowd of people than this. And now that there are only 4,000 people instead of 5,000, and though they have been in the wilderness for 3 days, and there is no way to get more bread, even so, they do not come to Jesus and bother him like they did on that first occasion. They know he has things well under control. And so finally, it is Jesus who comes to the disciples and says to them that the people need something to eat. And in response, the disciples only note their own inability to provide for them. They do not say, "Send them away," but only, "What can any of us do for them?" For they, the disciples, have no possible way of their own personal resources to meet this need. That can only be something that Jesus will do. They couldn't. And so Jesus performs a miracle yet again with what food that they have. 7 loaves of bread and a few small fish. The disciples gladly distributed these to the people, even though by all reason that would leave them without, with no way to feed for themselves. They, the ones who are now starving, ready to faint on the way in the wilderness. And yet they do not think of their own need because Jesus is with them. And even so, Jesus is with us. So often our needs seem so great that we cannot see the need of our neighbor. Our fear for our own livelihood drowns out any compassion which we might have for our neighbor. And though any one of us may indeed be in great need, how often is it true that really our needs only seem greater than our neighbor's need because it is our need and not their need? In truth, which of us is really so impoverished that we have nothing to give, no compassion to show for those around us? Consider that widow in the temple who gave the 2 mites all the money that she had to the treasury in Jerusalem. Jesus remarked that she had given more than all the rest because she gave of her need. But she gave it because she knew that God, who had provided for her to this day, would not now fail her. How few indeed of us have such faith? How few are willing to give of their need rather than of their excess? We think that if we give of our need, then we will have even less with which to take care of ourselves. Never mind that usually what we think of as our need is often not need at all, but truly is excess if only we open our eyes and see how richly God has provided for us day after day. No, not always with the richest food, but always with enough, and often more than we need. And yet how quickly the much that we have becomes so little in our eyes that we cannot possibly spare a thing. How poor our compassion is to our Lord Jesus. For indeed, our position is in no way different than that of the disciples. God gives us what we need. Seldom do we have such excess that we feel that we have far more than we need. And even so, he brings people to you who need your compassion. How easily you could turn them away. And yet, you have Jesus with you. And you can be certain that Jesus, who has no less compassion for your needy neighbor than he did for the 4,000 in the wilderness. And just as he provided for them bread through his disciples, the very bread that they purchased and bought at the stores, so he provides for the needy for you. For Jesus never turns away those who have need. And though you may try ever so hard to equal him in his compassion, you always will fail. Your mercy, your love, your empathy cannot possibly be greater. It cannot possibly come close to equaling that of Jesus. For the compassion of Jesus does not end with him giving bread to satisfy the bodily hunger of men. He would not be much of a savior if that is all he could do. Because anyone can feed the hungry. You can. The government can. But neither you nor the government can turn your flesh and blood into the food which can end the hunger of men's souls. You can take food and use it to give life to the living, but no matter how skilled you are, you cannot take a food and make it that which gives life to the dead. You can feed the starving, and yet someday they will still die. But no matter how long and hard you try, you can never make a food that if a man eats it, he will never die. But Jesus can give you such food. Jesus is himself the bread that can feed you so that you will not die, but live forever. For only Jesus has both the compassion and the power that he can make his own body and blood the food and drink which gives eternal life to all men. Yes, even if you were a martyr and gave your own body to die for the sake of the gospel, your death would not save a single person, no, not even yourself, but Jesus' death has saved you and the entire world from sin. When he went to the cross, he did not go just to please himself or to set a good example for how you should lay down your life also for others. He went to the cross doing what no one but he could do, so that he could fulfill his compassion for the multitude. For unless he makes his own flesh to be the bread which fills you unto eternal life by giving it into death, and unless he makes his blood to be the drink offering which is poured out for the sins of all the world, then all of the compassion which Jesus now showed for the hungry or the blind or the paralyzed or the lepers didn't mean anything at all. They all will still die, and not just die, but die in their sins and go to hell. For what good is all the compassion in the world if that is what waits for man after death? No, even if we have shown all compassion that is humanly possible, even if we were filled with the power and resolve of the angels in heaven, even then it would all be for nothing unless the compassion of Jesus is greater still, so great that his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins and for all the world. For that is the bread which Jesus also continues to offer to you today. Bread for your body, and here bread for your soul. Here is his compassion for you. He still is that heavenly food. And whenever you believe this, he has taken away all your sins by his body and blood. Then you are eating his heavenly bread. Therefore, though your compassion is weak, and even has often failed, his compassion never fails. His bread never ceases to forgive your sins and give to you eternal life. Come then and eat the heavenly food, for it is yours. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O thou holy and immortal God, whose working and majesty are greater than we can comprehend, in humility of soul we give thanks to thee and praise for thy manifold kindness. We thank thee that thou hast so bountifully given to the world its daily bread, providing seed for the sower and rain for our crops, that our farmers might have the harvest of the fruit of the land. But we especially thank thee that in thine ineffable love thou hast provided for our soul's hunger in the gift of the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, thy Son. O Father, grant that we may believe on him with all our hearts and find the joys and satisfactions of this heavenly food. Lead us to his heavenly word and doctrine, there to find the truth and insurpassable wisdom of thy holy will. Turn us to him who was bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions, that by his stripes we may be healed and forgiven. O God, grant that we might also find in him the strength that we do not find in ourselves, the power to resist the devil and every temptation, the will to overcome our sins, and yield ourselves to righteousness unto holiness. Nourish us by thy word and spirit, that we may find our labor sweet and all our necessities of our souls supplied. And in the excess which thou hast given us richly and abundantly, fill us with compassion for the needs of all men. Set watchmen over thy church who shall labor diligently in all lands and nations, preaching thy holy word with all boldness, that when our Lord Jesus shall return, he may find the fruit of the Spirit, a holy and redeemed church ready for the life to come. We thank thee for the blessings of our land. Give strength to all the forces of righteousness in our midst, and overthrow the power of evil. Be to us our sword and shield. Be thou the helper of all our families. Implant thy word in the hearts of our children, and thy love in our parents, so that they may ever enjoy the fruits of holiness. Free the afflicted from their troubles and bind them to thee, to the end that they may have abundant life and live to serve and praise thee. O thou who knows our frame and remembers that we are dust, as we depart thy house, continue the work of thy Spirit and quicken us in faith, hope, and love through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing hymn number 316.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take us away, those
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ,
shed for you for the remission of your sins.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
Take and drink.
This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks unto thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us in the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn number 19.
What? I'm sorry.
Hymn 659. His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.